I'm Devin Skeets of the Buffalo Buttes, and you are listening to the Experience Hockey Talk.
My name is Michael Lamont, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, visit them on Facebook today. And today is January 9th, 2016, and we're going to start kicking it off with some Washington Capitals game breakdown, starting with the game on January 2nd at the Columbus Blue Jackets. The lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera, Marcus Johansson, and Tom Wilson. Brooks Like with Zach Sill and Michael Latta. Defense was Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt, making his NHL debut Aaron Ness with Taylor Chorney. Braden Holtby was the starter in net. And for the first period, it started off with Dmitry Orlov getting called for slashing at 1:24, which then on that power play at 1:32, Jack Johnson scored his fourth goal of the season, assisted by Brandon Dubinsky and Nick Foligno. Then at 7:04, Boone Jenner was called for tripping, which then on that power play, TJ Oshie netted his 14th of the season, from Nicholas Backstrom, his 23rd assist of the season, and Marcus Johansson, his 15th assist of the season, and that was at 7:12. And at 7:56, Brandon Saad scored his 15th of the season, assisted by Alexander Wenberg and Scott Hartnell. And then Rennie Bork was called for holding at 10 minutes, which then on that power play, Jason Chimera scored his 11th of the season, 11:47, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov, his 23rd assist of the season, and Matt Niskanen, his 14th. And then at 13:18, Ryan Johansson was called for interference. At the end of the first period, the Caps and the Blue Jackets were tied at 2 apiece. Shots were 13-8 in favor of the Blue Jackets. Faceoffs were tied at 13 apiece. Hits were 10-4 in favor of Columbus. The Caps were 2-for-3 in the power play, whereas Columbus was 1-for-1. For the Caps, this was an okay period, taking the early penalty, which led to the first goal of the game for Columbus, hurt the Caps, and same with Saad's goal immediately after the Caps tied it at 1. Some of the pluses for the Caps is their power play is clicking, the Caps need to remain out of the box, get traffic in front of the net, and play their game. And in the second period, at 2:36 into the period, David Clarkson was called for high sticking, and then at 16:07, Marcus Johansson scored his 9th of the season, assisted by Tom Wilson with his 10th. At the end of the second period, the Caps were up 3-2. Shots were 15 for the Caps and 20 for the Blue Jackets. Faceoffs were 23-22 in favor of Washington. Hits were 19-5 in favor of Columbus. And the power play was 2-for-4 for the Caps and still 1-for-1 for Columbus. And this was another okay period for the Caps. They didn't do much with their power play opportunity and were almost scored upon until a coach's challenge overturned that goal. The Caps were able to get one in on to take the lead, but they need to play better in the third to secure a victory, especially when it comes to hitting because they're being badly outhit in this game. And then in the third period at 14:15, TJ Oshie was called for delay of game, which led to a power play goal at 4:47 by Jack Johnson, his 5th of the season, from Ryan Johansson and David Savard. Then at 5:27, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his 12th of the season, assisted by Tom Wilson and Carl Alzner, their 11th and 9th assists of the season, respectively. Then Scott Hartnell was called for unsportsmanlike conduct at 9:20. And at 18:52, Brandon Saad scored his 16th of the season, assisted by Jack Johnson and Cam Atkinson, to tie the game. At the end of the third, Washington and Columbus were tied at 4. Shots were 28-27 in favor of Columbus. Faceoffs were 31-27 in favor of Columbus. Hits were 28-9 in favor of Columbus. The power play for the Caps was 2-for-5, and Columbus a perfect 2-for-2. This was not the period the Caps wanted. They lost this period 2-1 and were horrible on the PK once again and couldn't convert on the power play. Giving up the last-minute goal gives the Blue Jackets the momentum going into the overtime period. And then going into overtime, we had just two penalties. A 2-of-4, Brandon Dumitski was called for slashing, and at 4:30, Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for hooking. Going into the shootout, Cam Atkinson of Columbus missed, and then TJ Oshie scored on his opportunity. Then Brandon Dubinsky scored on his opportunity to tie it up in the shootout. Evgeny Kuznetsov then missed, Ryan Johansson then scored, and then Nicholas Backstrom missed, which meant Ryan Johansson's goal was the winner. Columbus would win the game 5-4 in the shootout. Shots were 33-29 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 36-29 in favor of Columbus. Hits were 28-9 in favor of Columbus. On the power play, the Caps were 2-for-6, and the Columbus Blue Jackets 2-for-3. As a hockey fan, this overtime period was exciting to watch. It was very unfortunate to see Curtis McElhinney get injured the way he did, but Anton Forsberg was miraculous in his debut with the Blue Jackets. For the Caps, you could tell fatigue is catching up to them, especially on defense where missing John Carlson and Brooks Orpik is starting to show its effects. Going into their next game, the Caps needs to get refreshed and ready to play their game against the Boston Bruins. And speaking of the Boston Bruins, on 1-5, the Caps were at the Boston Bruins. Their lineup was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Samara with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Zach Sill and Stanislav Galiv, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Orlov with Schmidt, Aaron Ness with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby as the starter. And to kick things off right off the bat, Carl Alsner was called for interference at 1:36 and set first, followed by Jason Chimera being called for roughing at 5:56. And then Patrice Bergeron was called for interference at 9:13. And then at 15:01, Andrei Burakovsky scored his 4th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov, his 24th assist of the season, and Aaron Ness, his first point in the NHL. Washington would then end the first period up 1-0 over Boston with shots 9-7 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 8-6 in favor of Boston. Hits were 11-12 in favor of Boston. The Caps were 0-1 on the power play, and Boston was 0-2. This was a good physical first period for the Capitals. They matched the Bruins physically and were able to utilize their skill to get on the board. The Caps will need to stay out of the box and continue playing their game. And in the second period, Junius Kampinen was called for hooking at 6:52, then TJ Oshie was called for interference at 7:40. Zdeno Chara was then called for delay of game at 11:36, and on that power play at 12:40, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his 13th of the season from Matt Niskanen, his 15th assist, and Nicholas Backstrom, his 24th assist. Then at 15:26, Louis Erickson scored his 14th of the season from Brett Connolly and Patrice Bergeron. At the end of the second, the Caps were up 2-1. Shots were 23-14 in favor of Washington. Shots were 16-15 in favor of Washington. Hits were 25-20 in favor of Boston. The Caps were 1-for-3 on the power play, whereas Boston was 0-for-3 on the power play. Now, since this was a good second period for the Caps, they are utilizing their speed and making it very difficult for the Bruins to defend them. Going into the third period, the Caps need to continue their play to play their game, use their legs to get the Bruins' defense moving, and play smart and stay out of the penalty box. This third period will be a crucial one if the Caps want to snap their losing streak at 2 games. And with that, going into the third period at 10:41, Marcus Johansson scored his 10th of the season from Dmitry Orlov and Nate Schmidt, their 11th and 6th assists of the season, respectively. Then Matt Niskanen was called for holding at 11:13, which led to the power play goal at 11:52 by Patrice Bergeron, his 15th of the season, from Ryan Spooner and Tory Krug. Washington would win the game 3-2. Shots were 29-27 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 27-26 in favor of Washington. Hits were 33-26 in favor of Boston. The Caps were 1-for-3 on the power play, and Boston was 1-for-4. And this was a good road win for the Caps. They got themselves back in their winning ways and ended their small losing streak. I'd expect Zach Sill to be suspended for his hit on Adam McQuaid, but outside of that, the Caps overall had a good game. And with that, we are going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be doing the NWHL report.
Thank you.
Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it is now time for the NWHL Report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And starting off with the NWHL report, we're going to look back at the games from last week on January 3rd, the Connecticut Whale versus New York Riveters. After losing their first game of the season a week ago, the Connecticut Whale got back on their winning ways with a loud 6-1 win over the New York Riveters. Shannon D'Arcangelo would score a power play goal, a shorthand goal, and an even strength goal to score the first three goals of the game and a 3-0 lead for the Whale. This would mark D'Arcangelo's first career NWHL hat-trick and the first hat-trick in Whale history. Shannon Doyle, Kelly Babstock, and Kelly Stack would also score for the Whale. At the 7-minute mark of the third period, things got heated after Riveters goalie Jenny Scrivens got run over, which resulted with a 5-minute major and a game misconduct to Michaela Long for charging. On the extra-long power play, Ludmila Bilikova was able to score the lone goal for the Riveters. Also on 1-3, the Buffalo Buttes versus the Boston Pride. In a game that went back and forth in scoring, it would be Megan Bozek's game-winning goal at 1:20 into overtime to give the Buffalo Buttes a 4-3 victory over the Boston Pride. The victory marked the Buttes' second win of the season and first win against the Pride in franchise history. Haley Brown would score goals and score two goals and record an assist, and Devin Skeets scored a goal for the Buttes, whereas for the Pride, received goals from Jordan Smelker, Brianna Decker, and Hillary Knight. And then on the 5th of January, NWHL Player of the Week was announced. The NWHL announced that Buffalo Buttes defenseman Megan Bozek has been named Player of the Week. Bozek scored the game winner in Buffalo's 4-3 overtime victory over Boston, marking the Buttes' first victory over the Pride in 5 tries this season. Bozek is also the first blue liner to receive the Player of the Week honors. And normally right here we'd interject the interview, but that will be coming after the break. Then on Friday, January 8th, the NWHL had 2 player safety hearings on Thursday the 7th, resulting in 1-game suspensions for Michaela Long of the Whale and Alana Orlando of the Riveters. After further review, Long was suspended due to her high late hit, which took place approximately 6 seconds after the referee's whistle. Orlando was suspended for leaving the bench and immediately joining the altercation that happened at the 7-minute mark of the third period. And then And then 2 other New York players, Morgan Fritz Ward and Bray Ketchum, also left the bench and became involved with the altercation. However, they were not actively involved in the altercation like Orlando was after she came off of the bench. The Player Safety Committee has decided to create a warning system as a result of this, wherein players who perform illegal actions can be given a warning strike when their actions are not considered suspendable. When a player has received 3 strikes, they will face a player safety hearing and may face supplemental discipline. And then yesterday on the 8th, we also got a health update on Dina Lang of the Boston Pride. Boston Pride forward Dina Lang suffered a significant spinal injury during last Thursday's outdoor women's classic at Gillette Stadium. Doctors continue to monitor and evaluate her status. As of today, Lang has limited movement in her arms and no feelings in her legs. Per Commissioner Danny Ryland, all players on all 4 teams will wear a helmet sticker with Lang's number 24 on it in support of her recovery. Dina's family and friends have set up a website for anyone interested in following her progress and lending support. The website is dinalang.org, which is spelled dinalaing.org. And then looking into what this weekend, that what's in store for the NWHL, you have today on the 9th at 7:30 p.m. the New York Riveters versus the Connecticut Whale at Yale's Ingalls Rink. note for this game is this game will celebrate the life of Mandy Schwartz, sister of St. Louis Blues forward Jaden Schwartz, a Yale women's hockey player who lost her battle with leukemia in April of 2011. $2 from every ticket and proceeds from the 50-50 drawing will go towards the Mandy Schwartz Foundation. Also, you'll have tomorrow on the 10th at 3 p.m. the New York Riveters versus the Boston Pride at the Bright Landry Center. And at 6 p.m., the Buffalo Bees versus the Connecticut Whale at Chelsea Piers in Connecticut. And, of course, with tonight's game between the Riveters and the Whale, that'll be at Yale's Ingalls Rink at Yale University. And for the NWHL standings, in first place, you have the Connecticut Whale at 9-1-0 with 18 points. Second place, the Boston Pride at 7-3-1 with 15 points. Third place, the New York Riveters at 3-6-1 with 7 points. In fourth place, the Buffalo Buttes at 2-7-2 with 6 points. For more information on the NWHL, visit them today at nwhl.co and follow them on Twitter at nwhl_. Also visit dinalang.org for more information on Dina Lang's recovery. Again, that's dinalang.org. And when we come back, we will have Player of the Week, Megan Bozak of the Buffalo Buttes. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention is right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fans. And like I mentioned before in the NWHL report, we are going to be joined by Megan Bozak, the Player of the Week. And with me now is, from the Buffalo Buttes, Megan Bozak. Megan, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is great.
Now, as I said in the report, Buffalo Buttes defeated the Boston Pride for the first time this season and for the second win of the season. What was it like getting a win over the Boston Pride, which has been a team that's been pretty much torturing a lot of teams this season?
Yeah, playing Boston is always fun because I was with 8 of those girls the day before, and there's some of my good friends on that team. So playing them, you know that you're going to get a great game, and to win against them and to start off 2016 on a good note is good for us. We've battled through some things at the beginning of the season, and whether it's losing games by one goal or losing in shootouts, it's hard, but we had a good break, regrouped, came back fighting, and to beat Boston in overtime is a really good second half for us.
How did it feel to score the game-winning goal in overtime?
Yeah, it's my first goal of the season, so that's the monkey off the back. But on a 4-on-3, we have to get shots to the net. We have to get traffic in front, and Megan Duggan and Devin Skeets did just that. And Emily Falzer, who's one of the top defensemen in the U.S., if not the world, made some great moves and had a forward following her with a pass back, and I just took a one-time shot, hoping it would get deflected, and it went in. So it's nice to get, like I said, nice to get a win, especially on the road in Boston.
Now, the other day, this recording is obviously on Thursday, January 7th. The other day on the 5th, the Buffalo Buttes played host to the U.S. Women's National Under-18 team. What was it like to be able to play with those ladies, and what was like the overall experience like?
Well, it was very confusing playing a U.S. team where you were not wearing a U.S. jersey, so that threw me off a bit. But Joel Johnson, the U-18 head coach, was my coach at Minnesota for 3 or 4 years, and he's such a fantastic guy, and I'm excited to watch his team play in Worlds here coming up tomorrow. But it was good. They have a great team, a gritty, fast team, and some good goaltending behind them. So we rolled 4 lines, and it was nice. We had some plays, and we had some people there watching, and it's always great to play against a team knowing that you're helping them
with achieving their goals too, and they have a bigger picture in mind with World Championships starting tomorrow in St. Catharines, Ontario. So just for us to be a part of that and also to get our first home win was nice.
Now, speaking about being at home for the Harbor Center, you have the All-Star Game coming there in a matter of 2 weeks. What's it like knowing that you're going to be hosting the All-Star Game? Emily Falzer is going to be the captain for one of the teams. And, of course, you got a couple of your teammates in the All-Star Game as well.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Even playing in the inaugural season for the NWHL has been quite an honor. And just seeing the effort behind the staff of the NWHL has been great. And so the All-Star Game is going to be a lot of fun. I'm glad that Emily picked me. I can't wait to play against Team Knight. But Buffalo, the Harbor Center, is such a good atmosphere. We get great crowds. There's a lot to do in Buffalo. So knowing that it's just a sports area, I think will draw a lot of attention, and it'll be a fun 4-on-4 game.
Now, I got to bring this up. The other week, I mentioned on the show that members of the Washington Capitals were at your game. What was it like having some NHL guys there supporting the league and supporting your team play?
Yeah, we, being so close to the First Niagara Center and having a gym in our arena at the Harbor Center, we see a lot of the NHL teams that come play Buffalo. So we've run into numerous NHL coaches, NHL players, a lot of their staff and whatnot. So it's fun to hear their story and to kind of tell them that there is professional women's hockey. But any way that we can market the game and having boys, men on professional teams tweeting about how they're at our games is a huge market for us. So any way that we can get the word out and to have people support us like that is awesome. And unfortunately, I wasn't there for the game on the 27th, but I would have been probably a little starstruck to see some of them at our game. But I'm glad that they actually show an interest in women's hockey.
From what I understand, it was Andrei Burakovsky who did the tweet that made it known that there were Capitals at the game. Tom Wilson and Michael Latta, and apparently Ovechkin was there too.
That's awesome. Yeah, we've run into some fun people in the elevators. So just knowing that they can help us grow the game by a simple message like that and to show their support is great to have.
Now, of course, showing support, the NHL did have the Women's Classic outdoors as part of the Winter Classic festivities. To you as a player in the inaugural season of the NWHL, what does that mean to you?
It's amazing that not only do we have one professional league, but we have two professional leagues. And to be in the league that obviously we get paid to play, but knowing that there's more opportunity for women to play after college, and everyone dreams of playing after college, whether that's the Olympics or playing in the CWHL. Well, now there's two options, the CWHL and the NWHL. So to get people to keep playing and to get the younger generation to start playing and hope that they can have dreams and aspirations to one day play as a professional is awesome. So the NHL did such a nice job with the outdoor game and showcasing a team from both leagues. And I'm bummed that it ended in a 1-1 tie. I would like to see the NWHL pull it off. No, but it was some great competition and such good outreach for us.
Looking ahead, coming up, you got obviously the rest of the season coming up, the Isabel Cup coming up. What are some things that you are looking forward to and things that you're hoping that the Buttes can accomplish coming up the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having some more home games here at the later stretch of our second part of our season, but just getting ready to play playoffs and coming together more or less as a team and focusing on game by game. And Yeah, just play as one. It's tough when we have people traveling from outside and we only get together twice a week, but we have to make the best of it because every other team is in that same boat. So if people can come out and watch a game, whether it's in Connecticut, New York City, Buffalo, or Boston, it's great hockey, it's great competition, and you won't be disappointed with what you see. So I'm hoping that we get some new fans, some regulars back at our games, but just enjoying it and realizing that we play hockey because we love it and we are given the opportunity to do so. So hopefully people can follow in our paths here soon.
And with that, I am going to let you go because I do know you're on a time constraint. So I just want to, again, thank you so much for coming on the Experience Hockey Talk. And for more information on the NWHL, you can go to their website, nwhl.co, and on Twitter, you can follow them at @NWHL_. And again, Megan, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. And it is time to do the last Caps game breakdown of the week, which was on January 7th as the Washington Capitals were at the New York Islanders. And in the lineup for the Washington Capitals, it was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Like with Michael Latta and Stanislav Galiv, Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt, and Aaron Ness with Taylor Chorney. Braden Holtby was your starter in net. And it started quickly for the Caps as at 5:45, Jason Chimera scored his 12th goal of the season for Marcus Johansson, his 16th assist of the season. And then at 8:42, Marcus Johansson was called for illegal hit to the head, which then got reviewed and had supplementary discipline hearing for, which I'll get to in NHL news and notes. And then at 15:45, Alex Ovechkin scored his 22nd of the season from Carl Alzner, his 10th assist of the season. Washington would go into the first intermission with the 2-0 lead. Shots were tied at 10 apiece. Faceoffs were 8-6 in favor of the Islanders. Hits were 13-11 in favor of the Caps. Caps did not have a power play, and the Islanders were 0-1. This was a good first period for the Caps. They scored two good goals to give them the 2-0 lead. The Caps need to clean up their passing in their own zone and need to continue to play smart. And then in the second period at 1:59, Brock Nelson scored his 14th of the season from Ryan Strome and Mikhail Grabowski. Then at 4:12, both Alex Ovechkin and Nikolai Kuhlman were called for penalties. Alex Ovechkin got unsportsmanlike conduct, and Nikolai Kuhlman got interference. And then at 9:52, Kyle Oposo was called for high sticking, and then Tom Wilson was called for unsportsmanlike conduct at 13:48. At 15:54, Nate Schmidt scored his second of the season from Nicholas Backstrom, his 25th assist of the season. And then at 17:06, Ryan Strome was called for slashing. At the end of the second period, the Caps were up 3-1. Shots were 24 apiece. Faceoffs were 18-15 in favor of the Islanders. Hits were 21-17 in favor of Washington. Both teams were 0-2 on the power play. The analysis for this period was, it was a good second period for the Caps. They kept their pace going and was able to come into the second intermission with a 3-1 lead. The Capitals for their third period need to stay out of the penalty box and force the play and keep the game in the Islanders' zone. And in the third period, the only thing that happened was Nicholas Backstrom scored an empty net goal at 17:18, his 12th of the season, which was unassisted. At the end of the game, the Caps would win the game 4-1. Shots were 38-35 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 25 apiece. Hits were 25-21 in favor of Washington, and the power plays for both teams were 0-4-2. Overall, this was a great win for the Capitals. They played their best game in possibly the past five or six games. The Caps controlled the play, and when it seemed they couldn't handle the Islanders, they changed their game plan and dominated in all three zones of the ice. Big question will be what happens to Marcus Johansson after his player safety hearing on his hit on Thomas Hickey, which resulted in the illegal hit to the head penalty in the first period. And you'll find that out next in NHL News and Notes.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and it is now time for NHL News and Notes. And we are starting off with January 2nd when the NHL announced that forwards Jaromir Jagr of the Florida Panthers, Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks, Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, and John Scott of the Arizona Coyotes will be the respective captains of their divisions at the 2016 NHL All-Star Game in Nashville as voted by the fans. Also on the 2nd, the Tampa Bay Lightning assigned forward Jonathan Drouin to Syracuse of the AHL, and the Florida Panthers signed head coach Gerard Gallant to a two-year extension. Washington Capitals forward Jay Beagle also underwent hand surgery. Beagle is expected to return to the full hockey activities in about 6 weeks. Then on January 3rd, the Chicago Blackhawks announced they have loaned defenseman David Runbland to the ZSC Lions of Switzerland's National League A. Also that day, one day after being sent down to the Syracuse of the AHL, Tampa Bay Lightning's forward Jonathan Drouin, through his agent, announced that Drouin requested to be traded back in November. So all eyes are going to be on the Tampa Bay Lightning, not just on the Steven Stamkos contract situation, but also now because one of their top prospects is requesting to be traded out of Tampa Bay. The Chicago Blackhawks on the 3rd traded forward Jeremy Morin to the Toronto Maple Leafs for forward Richard Panik. Also that day, for the Chicago Blackhawks, Corey Crawford turned aside all 26 shots he faced to help the Blackhawks to a 3rd consecutive victory. Crawford posted his league-leading 6th shutout of the season. On the 4th of January, the NHL Stars of the Week ending in 1-3 was announced. First star was Jonathan Quick, goalie of the Los Angeles Kings. Quick went 4-0-0 with a 1.0 goals against average and a .968 save percentage and one shutout to help the Pacific Division leading Kings extend their winning streak to 5 games. Second star was Shane Doan, right winger of the Arizona Coyotes. Doan led the NHL with 5 goals in 3 games to power the Coyotes to 3 of a possible 6 standings points. And in the third star was Chris Letang, defenseman of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Letang led all defensemen with 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 3 games to propel the Penguins to 5 out of a possible 6 standing points. And then on the 4th, Anaheim Ducks goalie John Gibson was announced the December Rookie of the Month. Gibson went 5-3-1 with a 1.62 goals against average and a .926 save percentage and 3 shutouts in 10 appearances. And then the December Stars of the Month were also announced that day. First star was Johnny Gaudreau, of left winger of the Calgary Flames. Gaudreau led the NHL with 12 goals and ranked second with 18 points in 13 games to power the Flames to a 9-4-0 December, helping the club set a franchise record with 11 consecutive home victories. Second star was Braden Holtby, goalie of the Washington Capitals. Holtby went 9-0-1 with a 1.69 goals against average and a .947 save percentage and one shutout in 11 appearances to rank second in the NHL in wins and lead the Capitals to an 11-2-1 December as well as the top of the Eastern Conference standings. And third star was Patrick Kane, right winger of the Chicago Blackhawks. Kane again paced the NHL with 9 goals, 10 assists, 19 points, including 5 power play goals in 15 games to power the Blackhawks to a 9-5-1 month. Kane also set a franchise record as well as the longest point streak by a U.S.-born player in NHL history at 26 games. On the 4th, Jerome McGinley scored the 600th goal of his NHL career, and Tyson Barrie had a career-high 4 points as the Colorado Avalanche won 4-1 and snapped the Los Angeles Kings' win streak at 5 games. McGinley became the 19th player in NHL history to reach the 600-goal milestone. Then on the 5th of January, the Toronto Maple Leafs prospect Casper Kapanen scored off a wraparound 133 into overtime to give Finland a 4-3 victory against Russia in the gold medal game of the 2016 IIHF World Junior Championship at Hartwell Arena in Helsinki, Finland. Earlier in the day, the United States won bronze with an 8-3 victory over Sweden. So Finland was the gold medalist, with Russia winning silver and bronze going to the United States for the World Junior Championships. Also on the 5th, Roberto Luongo made 31 saves, and the Florida Panthers scored 4 unanswered goals to extend their franchise record winning streak to 10 games by defeating the Buffalo Sabres 5-1. On the 6th of January, the NHL announced the full 2016 All-Star Game roster, starting with the Atlantic Division. We already had Jaromir Jagr, who was voted in as captain by the fans, but then he was joined by Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins, Leo Komarov from Toronto Maple Leafs, Dylan Larkin from Detroit Red Wings, Ryan O'Reilly from the Buffalo Sabres, Steven Stamkos from the Tampa Bay Lightning, Aaron Ekblad from Florida, Eric Karlsson from the Ottawa Senators, P.K. Subban from the Montreal Canadiens, Ben Bishop from Tampa Bay, and Roberto Luongo from Florida. In the Metro Division, joining Alex Ovechkin, who was voted as captain by the fans, is Nicholas Backstrom, also from the Capitals, Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers, Evgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Brandon Saad of the Columbus Blue Jackets, John Tavares of the New York Islanders, Justin Falk of the Carolina Hurricanes, Chris Letang from Pittsburgh Penguins, Ryan McDonough of the New York Rangers, Braden Holtby from the Capitals, and Corey Schneider from the New Jersey Devils. And then from the Central Division, you had Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars, Matt Duchene of the Colorado Avalanche, Patrick Kane, who was voted by the fans to be the captain of the team from the Blackhawks, Tyler Seguin from the Stars, Vladimir Tarasenko from the St. Louis Blues, Jonathan Toews from the Chicago Blackhawks, Dustin Byfuglien from the Winnipeg Jets, Roman Josi from the Nashville Predators, Shea Weber also from the Predators, Devin Dubnyk from the Minnesota Wild, and Pekka Rinne also from the Nashville Predators. And then in the Pacific Division, you had Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames, Taylor Hall of the Edmonton Oilers, Joe Pavelski of the San Jose Sharks, Corey Perry of the Anaheim Ducks, joining John Scott of the Arizona Coyotes, who was voted in by the fans as captain, Daniel Sedin, Vancouver Canucks, Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks, Drew Doughty of the LA Kings, Mark Giordano of the Calgary Flames, John Gibson of the Anaheim Ducks, and Jonathan Quick, also from LA. Head coaches will be Gerard Gallant of the Florida Panthers for the Atlantic Division, Lindy Ruff of the Dallas Stars for the Central Division, Daryl Sutter of the Los Angeles Kings for the Pacific Division, and Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals for the Metro Division. On 1-6, Washington Capitals forward Zach Sill has been suspended for 2 games without pay for boarding Boston Bruins defenseman Adam McQuaid in Boston on 1-5, the NHL Department of Player Safety announced. Under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Sill will forfeit $6,182.80. That means that he missed the game against the New York Islanders and will miss today's game against the New York Rangers. And then it got very busy after that suspension that was announced on Zach Sill. As also on the 6th, the Los Angeles Kings acquired center Vincent LeCavalier and defenseman Luke Shen from the Philadelphia Flyers for center Jordan Wheel and a 2016 third-round pick. Part of this deal has the Flyers retaining 50% of both LeCavalier and Shen's salaries for the remainder of the season. In all honesty, the Flyers won this deal. Signing LeCavalier for as long as they did was a mistake after the Lightning bought him out. Trading him and Shen opens up a lot of cap space for the Flyers. The biggest question for LA is how will LeCavalier perform for them? He has very little left in the tank and has been told by his previous coaches that he can't play anymore. Only time will tell with the Kings and LeCavalier. But then immediately, like 10 minutes later on the 6th, the Washington Capitals and forward Mike Richards agreed to terms on a one-year, $1 million prorated contract. Richards met with the NHL earlier in the day and has been given clearance to immediately resume his career. This was a very interesting signing to me personally. Take away Richards' legal problems outside of hockey, which Caps GM Brian McClellan deems won't be an issue. On the ice, Richards can become one of the best low-risk, high-reward acquisitions in franchise history for the Caps since the 98 season when they signed Brian Bellows. Richards, who has appeared in 3 Stanley Cup finals and winning 2 Stanley Cups, he has also won at every other level that has helped he has played at. Also a key factor is that Justin Williams, who was Richards' teammate on that both LA Cup teams even gave a vote of confidence for the Caps to bring in Richards. Now, we know that Reich Richards right away won't play right away, but when his time comes to be put into the lineup, it will be very interesting to see how Richards performs with the team. And to bring up a note, McClellan has noted that they had been talking to Richards even before Jay Beagle was injured, so the Beagle injury had nothing to do with this signing. It was all just coincidence. But overall, I'm very intrigued to see what Mike Richards brings to the table. He's a former captain in Philadelphia. He went to the finals with Philadelphia before. He's won two cups. He's won gold medal, Olympic gold. He's won World Junior Championships. He's won at every level. So he definitely brings experience. He brings leadership. He brings a game that will work, especially for bottom six. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does. I hope it works out best for the Caps and Mike Richards. I hope that he is one of those pieces that leads the Capitals to the Stanley Cup for the first time in their franchise history. Also on the 6th, like almost an hour later after the Mike Richards signing and the LeCavalier-Schenn trade to L.A., the Nashville Predators acquired center Ryan Johansson from the Columbus Blue Jackets for defenseman Seth Jones. Now, to me, this was an out-of-nowhere trade for me. I knew Johansson would be on the way out of Columbus for various reasons, but the fact that Nashville traded Seth Jones was extremely shocking. Obviously, this is a great trade for both teams. In Jones, the Blue Jackets get a very young defenseman who will be a number one or two defenseman for 10 to 15 years, because the kid is only 21 years old. While in Nashville, the Predators finally get the number one center they have been in desperate need of for a few years now. Overall, a great trade for both teams, and also to keep in mind, Johansson's 23 years old, so both of these guys have long careers ahead of them. Then on 1-7, the Montreal Canadiens traded goalie Dustin Tokarski to the Anaheim Ducks for forward Max Freiberg. And then on the 7th, New Jersey Devils forward Bobby Farnham has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under the NHL Rule 64, diving and embellishment for the NHL announced. And they also announced that Winnipeg Jets forward Nikolai Ehlers has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline, also under NHL Rule 64, for diving and embellishment. That was done on the same day. Also on the 7th, Roberto Luongo made 30 saves, and Alexander Barkov scored the eventual game-winning goal at 7:30 of the third period to lead the Florida Panthers past the Ottawa Senators 3-2 for their franchise record 11th consecutive victory. And on the 8th, the Dallas Stars announced that they have signed general manager Jim Neal to a 5-year contract extension. Also on the 8th, the New York Rangers traded right winger Emerson Edom to the Vancouver Canucks for right wing Nicholas Jensen in a 2017 6th-round draft pick. And then on the 8th, to end the day, Washington Capitals forward Marcus Johansson has been suspended for 2 games without pay for an illegal check to the head of New York Islanders defenseman Thomas Hickey in New York on 1-7. Under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Johansson will forfeit $40,322.58 in salary. And then also on the 8th, the Anaheim Ducks rallied from a 3-1 deficit in regulation, and Ryan Getzlaf scored the decisive goal in the shootout to help the Ducks defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-3. And then for their debuts with Columbus and Nashville, respectively, Seth Jones and Ryan Johansson made their debuts. Johansson scored at 2:35 of the first period and added an assist in 17 minutes and 46 seconds on time on the ice in his Predators debut, and Seth Jones made his Blue Jackets debut, logging 22 minutes and 31 seconds of time on the ice. And looking at the road ahead for the Washington Capitals today, January 9th at 1 p.m., they are at the New York Rangers. And then on Sunday, tomorrow the 10th, they're at home hosting the Ottawa Senators. And then on the 14th, at 7 p.m., they're hosting the Vancouver Canucks. And it will be interesting to see how the Caps do to finish off this road trip and then go home to take on the Ottawa Senators. And obviously, it'll be interesting to see when Mike Richards debuts for the Washington Capitals. Could it be on Thursday against the Vancouver Canucks? Or does he get sent down to Hershey for a conditioning stint? All we'll find out, and we'll see as the week goes on. And with that, I just want to say thank you for listening to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. I'm Michael Lindemann. You can follow the show on @ Experience Hockey on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk. And we have been brought to you, as always, by the Till the Kilt Frederick, the Till Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more information on the Till the Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until next time, I'll see you on the ice.